to us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Bogeys and Beers. Just three amateurs who think they're better than they are, talking about golf and drinking beer and just some other aspects of amateur golf. So today, a few things we're going to go over. Our course we want to review is a new one we found this year, kind of a little hidden gem called Whitetail Ridge out in Yorkville, Illinois. And then we're just going to go over, like we talked about last time, a couple of things as far as how long we think a round should be played in. And we got a couple other things we want to go over. We want to talk about scrambling and how we think that should be happening more. And but we'll start with the course. So
what's the best way to get there?
Yeah, first off.
Good question. How do you get
obviously
there?
Obviously here with Tim and Chad again. these guys are here with me, and yeah, we just
it
played there.
It takes me a longer time than two putts to get there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
A lot more than two putts. It's in Yorkville, which is a little bit south of Oswego. What are we talking about? Like, if you're looking at south of Aurora, Oswego.
You're going to go off 80, you're going to get off Ridge West, Road, you're going to go in Minooka exit. It's a little out there. It's in Yorkville, but I'll tell you what,
there's not
it
a good
is
way to get there.
Well worth the drive.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
If you're talking about coming from the Chicago, it's probably going to take you at least an hour.
At least an hour, hour 10.
If you're coming from the city, it's going to take you a little while. If you come from the suburbs, you're looking at about a half hour, 45 minutes. But it is worth the
They run
the
a deal
drive.
On every Monday is $35 with a cart. Other than that, I think we played it for like, what, 45?
It's they're averaging about $45 during the week.
Yeah, I think
they have specials for $25, $30.
Yeah, it gets cheaper later in the day, but I know they do a $35 special on Monday.
I mean, it's kind of tucked away into
it's
like
average.
This,
yeah, it's an like, average. It's your average
pricing
price range.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
But I do think for what you get in terms of the
worth
it.
It's
so
worth
it.
If that was
so
closer to the city, it'd be $60-$70 round
for the track you're playing.
I mean, it's an unbelievable
course. It's by far worth what you're paying, and if you want to drive out, out of your way, 30 minutes is well worth the 30-minute drive.
Beautiful clubhouse. I know they do weddings there.
It's a
bar upstairs and downstairs, right next to the
full restaurant food.
Well, don't give them too much. We got to keep them in the fucking episode here. All right, stay tuned because there's a ton to talk about in this place. Because this is one of the by far best places that you can probably golf. Not only just for the 18 holes, but you're gonna get some good food. You're gonna get good beer.
Huge selection of beer. I remember they had Bell's, they had Oberon.
They had Oberon.
And
some Shandy's.
Shandy's. They had
the Two-Hearted Ale. Yep.
Huge selection as far as that goes. Good food. I don't think, what was the side? Cart Girl cannot go on the back nine.
The only downfall.
Big time, yeah.
Kind of a bummer.
Only downfall of the game is the back nine is on a restricted area of a dry booze
county.
So there is no sales. Otherwise, you buy it on the course.
They had a little drive-through window, little walk-in bar downstairs. You could walk right in there at the turn and stock up there.
Which I didn't even know there was a... The dry counties existed in
Illinois. Either did I. That was the only reason I knew it because we went there and golfed. That's the only way.
I mean, that's wild
it.
To me that the front nine can be boozing and then
the
back
nine
is
just
the county
different.
Just
and you can
which
have
tells
it, but
you,
they just can't sell
right.
it there.
Well, just for that spec of us, when you're talking about that, just tells you how gold the different nines are. They're completely different. You play one
really
back nine and the
nines.
Front nine are completely different nines. It's one of the best aspects of the entire course is you're going to play completely separate nines.
And the first time we played the back nine first.
Right.
And it was hell.
Right. Yeah,
which is it's messing with me because I'm still thinking of 10 as one and one and when we're going through them, we played there. First time you ever play it, they send you off on 10. It's throwing me off.
Yeah.
It'll get you. It's a hell of a course, though. It's not long.
Yeah, front's a lot easier.
But it's challenging. If
Except
you don't put it where you're
favorite
supposed to
hole.
Put it. Yeah. Well,
our favorite hole, number 8 on this. Just wait till you get to that
we'll
one.
We'll get to 8.
Yeah.
We'll get to 8 pretty
soon.
I
think we jump right to it. I mean, there's not a hole.
Well, let's get into the when you're driving up. It's a great course. It's a fantastic.
You
clubhouse.
Feel like you're going to the middle
you
of
feel
fucking
like
nowhere.
You feel, yeah, right. You feel like you're going to the middle of nowhere. But at the end of the day, when you drive up to this place, number one, you're like, holy shit, this is actually a nice-ass clubhouse. You walk in,
yeah.
Nice-ass club, golf carts, nice-ass fucking range.
The golf carts are really right? nice. Hell yeah.
You feel like you're in a Lazy Boy.
Yeah.
You're like, these are some nice golf carts. You feel like you're playing in actually a luxury golf course. And when you get out there, it's almost like that. You're playing in a luxury golf course. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And it's not too challenging. Once you get off there, we start off at one. What, one's a 320-yard par four.
Well, with the range, did you talk about the range that they we didn't even go over that yet?
The range was nice. Grass tees too. Grass tees. They have a nice range. They got good food.
I think that somebody said though. I think you see way too many with mats. So when you see grass tees, they're in good shape.
Right.
You know, they leave enough room where they can rotate where the tees go. And
yeah, especially when you're early in the season and stuff, and you're trying to get some good feel back off the grass.
Also,
benefit
to it being out in the middle of nowhere, which before we start going through the course, like wide open for the most part. You don't see a lot
of
people out there.
That's a good point. Yeah, I would say traffic is a good C minus. You won't see a lot of good traffic.
I mean, the first time we went there, it was supposedly booked up from whatever she told us. Well, we called on the way there, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, we'll get you out there. And then we got there, and she said, the next tee time's not for an hour 15. That guy came right over. He goes, no, we'll figure out a way.
Right.
They squeezed us right out, and we didn't see anyone the whole time. You know,
right.
We moved. It's big enough where it's wide open. You know, you don't get a lot of people out there just because it's out in the middle of damn nowhere, so.
Right. If you're going to drive out there, you don't find too many hacks, which is nice. You know, if you're going to go out there and try and play a good round, you want to get 18 holes in, you know, 3.5-4 hours, you're not going to go out there and run into somebody who's going to hold you up for 4.5.
No, definitely
hours.
Not.
Right.
You know, more likely you're going to play with, you know, guys who are out there playing decent golf, keeping it going. And the best part about it is I think you play a very distinctive two different nines where you're looking at trying to beat your best score.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not that long. It's only 6,500 yards from the tips, which is not that long, but if you can ease...
Yeah, 65 from the tips.
Yeah, you can only... Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get that long, but you can challenge yourself. You know,
right.
It's not. You're not gonna go and beat your best score unless you play really good.
How do those two nines differentiate themselves so much? I mean, we to say, you know, they're two completely different.
I don't think
nines.
They're good question. I mean, don't think they're two distance wise. I think it's more from the layout. It's.
I thought the distance was big. I thought was it not a big difference?
No, it's 30. It's within 8 yards.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're so not too distant. Yeah. The yardages aren't that far off. I think it's more of just layout. You know, I think the front nine, you're looking at more of a narrow, you know, wetlandsy kind of type deal. You know, you're out there with the wetlands. You're playing against the land. When you get to the back nine, it's more if you're playing through a landscape that's been developed. You know what I mean? You got up and down. You're going through a little bit more elevation. You're going through suburbs. You're going through...
You're in a neighborhood on the back nine.
Right, you know. So there's a little bit more elevation. There's a little bit more strategic shots. But the front nine, you can just let it rail on the front nine. Just let it rip. You got 4 or 5 holes where you can just let the driver rip and score well, you know. So
I don't think there's... I mean, 2 is a par 5. But other than that, the front nine's pretty straightforward. We've got, you know, some pretty easy par threes. But then you get to number 8, and it's just
eight is the highlight.
I'll just say this: I honestly think 8 is it's the dumbest fucking hole ever created.
I would say the number one rating for the dumbest.
Right, it's for being the hardest hole. It's you can easily shade that into one of the easiest holes.
So for the listeners, let's describe what 8 looks like for.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever played Golden Tee? If you play Golden Tee, because that's exactly what you're going to try and play. They want you to tee off to far left and give yourself at least over 200. If you hit it really good drive, you're looking at 160, maybe 175 yards in.
Right.
You can take a 4-iron and go right down the 9 hole and do the exact same thing without a driver in your hand.
Yeah, so the tee box, like The way the tee box is set up, it literally faces at fescue.
It almost looks like it's a split fairway, when really the fairway on the right is 9.
Right.
But
they
9 coming back the other way is a par 5, a long, wide-open par 5.
So you're not, in danger of getting hit by anybody or anything like that.
Which is it's a nice thing because course is usually open enough where you can play it to the right, but
right.
I don't know. I don't think we ever really played it. We've only played there twice. We've only played it to the right. We never really...
We never tried
I think left. I think if you hit a good... You can hit... The thing is, you can go left and hit a 3-iron or a 3-wood. You can hit about a 240 shot and give yourself like 130 in.
The only thing from the tee box...
It depends where the pins are. But, yeah. It depends where that pin is.
To me, from the tee box, the landing spot for the actual fairway is very small.
Right.
At least in my head. Like the way I think about it.
If you play it a 9, it's wide open. Because I yanked one real bad and I still had a 6-iron in.
And the thing is, if you go to the right... If you go play 9 fairway, you... take away a lot of bad errors. You
right.
know what I mean? You can go right. You can go long. You can miss any kind of way you want, and you're not going to mess up a whole hole. You know, right. You're not going to look at 6, 7, or 8 on your scorecard.
I agree.
At the end of the day, you might as well just take that shot, go right, take your 8 or 7 iron into the green, where you take away I think the thing for the hole, this way to set it up, is that bunker in front of that
green. Right, and the pin is usually tucked behind that left bunker.
On the left. So if you take away that bunker, you take away the left side of that green, you play it to the right, you're almost playing it as a birdie or par hole instead of a bogey par hole.
I would agree. I would agree.
So, yeah, that's for sure. I think it's actually one of my favorite holes because you can just go look at it and be like, I can play it any way I want. I'm not going to play it this also, way. Yeah, you know what I mean?
The only thing that sucks is when you run it, if you do run into that hole on a crowded day, because you don't want to try to play up 9 when if you have backed up traffic coming up that way.
At the end of the day, if I'm shooting even par at that 20, I'm not going to let anybody kiss my ass. I'm going right towards you. Yeah.
You shouldn't have been standing there. Right,
So they ain't going to stop me from beating my best score.
What's another good hole that we liked?
I love 9 after that. How about 9, though? Coming at par 5 right after that, you can easily get there in 2. It's only
a huge fairway.
If you have a nice big drive, you get there about 220 yards.
A lot to get there, but
but it's a fairly giveable par 5. You should have birdied that one though. I remember you 3-jacked that one, but I mean it's a good scoreable par 5.
10 and 11 are both, I think, pretty cool. 10's
tends like it's a long kind of dogleg right left.
A little bit to the right.
Or last.
So going right back into the suburbs here. You make the back 9 as a...
Reachable bunker on your left. If you go too far right, you go down that hill.
You're looking at a driver wedge. It's a simple little hole to start off with.
You had a good drive, though.
That's a nice one.
It's not a hole. I mean,
Where the elevation starts. You know what I mean? You go off the hill,
and then you come right back down.
And then how about 11?
About 130 yard par 3.
You get a little wedge coming down the hill about 20 yards.
Is that the one that was tucked on the side?
Correct.
Yeah, one that I hooked right into the fescue twice.
Right. You played out.
I made a hell
of
an up and down for that.
I think you parred it twice too.
No, just last time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I mean, in my opinion, in terms of par threes, I think the par threes on this course are decently easy. They're big greens. They're not very long.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
No, I think all the greens are very accessible. It's whether or not you play a grid second shot. I think this is a grid second shot course.
How do those greens roll?
Very well.
Yeah. Very true. They're kind of fast, which I like, but
deceptively fast, I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say way above average for sure.
Yeah. In terms of speed, absolutely.
But at the same time, I feel like when it was going up the hill, you had to get it there. You know, it wasn't as much as they were moving quickly, if those uphill putts were not a joke, you know, you still had
to be aggressive.
To ram it up there.
Yeah, I would agree. I do think, you know, there's a decent amount of water on this course.
Thanks, I know.
You bet. <there.
laughs> And just from my perspective, with putting, if there's water near the green, it has tended to break towards the water.
Towards the water, right.
Which is, I mean, obviously people are like, oh, no fucking shit, dude. It obviously doesn't. But sometimes on this course, it doesn't look like it at all.
Right. No.
It'll still go
at
it.
You can misread these greens, anywhere you're at. It's more or less, you want to be on the short side of them, but... It's not the best.
What's the super downhill par 3? That's a cool hole. Is that 17? Remember, when it was tucked and Remember the last time we played it?
The par three, yeah. That was 16 or 17.
The pin was, like, tucked on the left near the water. I played it directly over.
Yeah, 17.
Right.
17.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. That's kind of a little wedge gimmicky hole. Yeah. With that big bunker in the water on right. the left.
It's a pretty hole. Yeah.
It's a nice downhill. Hole. Pretty hole, yeah.
Yeah, way downhill, water left. Both times we've played it, the pin is tucked left right by the water.
Yeah.
Big-ass green open to the right, but good luck.
Big sloper with a hump in the middle.
I mean, pretty much my standards on par three, just yank one really bad and then make a hell of an up and down somehow.
Yeah, it usually works because he doesn't like to dance with the rest of us. No, so he'll get it up and in, though.
I don't like birdies on par threes.
No, but it's for sure a good tester of, you know, to finish the course because you go through that course pretty simple. It's not that long.
No.
But when you get to 17, you got that downhill pitch.
Right.
And then you got that 18 where you have to miss the bunker on the right and the shit on the right, which you've been, Chris. You've been in the shit.
And then, on 18?
On 18, yeah. And then that high-rise elevated green for 18, which is all by itself.
Oh, I remember 18.
You remember 18? Yeah. Green, that I three-putted that itself,
shit for bogey.
Where it's all by itself. I mean, it's literally sitting on an elevation all by itself.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, maybe overall, I think overall course condition, it's unbelievable shape. The greens are immaculate.
For being out there for $40, you're not going to beat a better course.
Yeah, yeah. I'm shocked that more people don't know about it yet, but maybe this will turn them.
And I think we, you know, with no one in front of us, probably played that in, what, 3.5 to 4, somewhere in there,
That was a good 3.25. Yeah, 3.5, I would say.
3.5 or so.
With the foursome, I mean, it's pretty decent.
Which brings us back to what we, you know, said last time and we wanted to kind of talk about a little bit as far as, you know, a good time for a round. I mean, what would you guys say is a good round that's not? Because I know there's some, I've played before with people who just, you know, anything inside of 8 feet, pick it up. You know, we got to go, be the first, you know, right. Playing that's, up people's ass for no reason.
Well, when you say what is a good time, there's a lot of people that have a different aspect of what is a good time.
But,
when do you pick it up? When do you give somebody a gimme? When do you do all this kind of stuff? More or less, it should be one consensual, one you know, everyone says, hey, pick it up in a putter head, you know, whatever.
Well, I think those are two different discussions as far as strokes, and because I can play a hole and with an 8 and in the same speed that you can with a 3. Right. You know, you can get to the ball, you play your ball, you know, you limit your time on looking for balls and, you know, limit your practice swings. I just think that there's a happy medium.
Yeah, like for an overall round, like where does your blood start to boil? Like, what's the time that you look at your phone and you're like, fucking A, man.
You've seen it on, what's the course that has the time? I've seen them on there. They have it on the scorecard.
Like, they have it on this one here.
How long am I going to tell until I kill you?
4:15, they say, is a typical round.
Which is, I think, bullshit. So if you can't play 3.5 hours, get the fuck out of here.
No, there's no way. How many times have we gone past that since we played? Say, okay, this is our 30th round.
4 hours I can deal with. 3.5 should be I think 3.5 is plenty. Right.
So I do think 3.5.
So I'm saying, yeah, exactly what I'm saying. So say if me, you, and somebody else went out and we played it as a foursome, we can easily play in 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yes, well, but we can also strike balls. Like,
right. Okay, so saying if you're an average golfer and you're playing with foursome in an 18-hole course that's, say, around 7,000 yards, you could probably play that in 3.5 hours.
I would say 3.5 to 3:45. I think once you're getting to 4, it's like there's something going on.
Something that's wrong. If you're a hole or two behind, there's something that's going on.
You don't need to fucking line your putts up from both sides of the green.
Which I still think that's generous. 4:15 is generous.
I think that's extremely generous.
That's too much.
Oh, that's way too much. There's no way that it should take you over 4 hours to play a round of golf. I don't care what your handicap is. If you're playing,
no, that's my point.
If you're playing the appropriate tees,
you don't have to. If you're playing the appropriate tees,
there should be no reason why you do not play under 4 hours.
Just keep up. That's all you have to do.
There's no way you should not play under 4 hours. If you're playing,
you need to understand who you are. You need to understand that either, A, if you're that good, take your time and take your practice swings because you're only taking 2 or 3 shots. But if you suck, get up there and hit the damn thing. I don't care if it's going to take you. Agree, if it's going to take you ages, get up there and hit it.
I agree. Well, and we do the same thing, too.
Or pick your ball up. If somebody gives me yardage
and it says 35, as long as I'm within 5 of that, I'm happy.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's move along. I'm not looking for an ideal yardage. I'm looking for a ballpark.
After I put 2 or 3 in the water or, you know, sprayed another one, I'm not too proud to pick it up, put a smiley face on the card and that, and be like, hey, I'll keep walking. I'm not out here playing for money.
And I see here they're giving an average of like close to anywhere from 14 to 15 minutes a hole.
That's a little outrageous.
That's stupid.
I mean, so there's one that's 12, another one's 14, another one's 17.
That's too much.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's when you need to figure out who are you catering to. And that's what we're trying to figure out right now. Let's make golf great again. You know what I mean?
Okay, so tell me this. What do you think about what the European Tour is doing? They did last weekend, they did a shot clock tournament.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem.
And so for anyone that doesn't know this, the European Tour it was either last weekend or 2 weeks ago, they did a 50-second shot clock. So once you got up to the ball, once the person that was away had shot, your clock starts.
Right.
You get 50 seconds to address your ball, choose your shot, take your practice swings, and hit. It sped the round up by almost an entire hour.
But
53 minutes.
How do you translate that to amateur golf? Like, we're talking about like just going out and playing Whitetail Ridge today. How do you
tell your fucking friend, stop, dude, you gotta go faster?
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's number one, gotta start somewhere there.
Change the rules of, you know how we used to play golden tee drops?
Yeah.
A lot of people have been playing, oh, if I spray it out of bounds, I gotta re-tee.
Yeah. I
think the best thing that USGA did
drop
was,
it wherever.
Hey, drop it where you went out of bounds.
Yep, I agree.
What I mean, that's a great you're not hitting 3 from the fucking tee box.
Well, there's really courses that are still on the white stake rule.
Right, they do still play white stake rule, which I think is just ridiculous. You want to speed up the game? Listen, we're all not professionals. We'll spray a ball out of bounds here and there.
The rules of golf are
take your drop. Play from 3 from wherever.
Yeah, we're not winning any tour championships.
None of us I'm not winning any tour championships. If I beat you by 2 strokes and I had to spray one out of bounds,
pick a spot close to where you think it went in, drop one down, and play it. I think, you know, how many times do we say just take a free drop and go when there's a ball that everyone saw going to an open area and it's
and you can't find it.
You can't find it because the rough's too thick that day, like throw one down, take a free drop. Right. Everyone knows where that ball should have been. There's no reason to sit there and hold everything up. When we're not
we'll give you 2 minutes. If you can't find it, drop and one. I think at the end of the day, no one cares.
All this stuff can go a long way towards speeding the damn game up.
The only person who's sleeping with that is yourself. Yeah. At the end of the day, if you got a problem with it, then that's your own goddamn
fault. I agree. So we're scrambling this weekend.
Ooh.
We have a scramble in a few days.
Scramble.
What do we think about the scramble? I mean, personally, I think we should have more scrambles. I think there should be more scrambles on every public course. From a business aspect, I would think it's a moneymaker. I don't know. I don't know why there's people not doing more of it.
It has to be. But here's one thing that I would like to see more on scrambles, which is why we've kind of tossed around the idea of coming up with like scramble leagues and that type of thing, which we'll go into more of that later. But the prizes for it, I think there's got to be more to play for. You have these scrambles, and then we go out there, and I think that it's hard to find enough people who are competitive where we want to play for, because as much as, you know, we can shoot, you know, into the 90s some days or, you know, high 80s, whatever. When we get out there and scramble, one of us is going to hit a good one, and we're usually pretty good in that aspect. But we want to play for something, and that we won that one at, what was it? Glen Eagles.
We won't talk about that.
But there was, we're not going to talk about Steven.
There was nothing. They gave us a round of golf with this guy. Basically gave us a handshake and a wink, told us that we were going to get a free round of golf there next time we came, but shit was locked up in the office. They gave us a gift card for $25. I mean, I just think for we paid to get into that thing? $65?
Yeah. If you're going to beat another 100 teams playing a fucking scramble, you might as well.
There weren't 100 teams, but
there were 22 groups.
It was good. Oh, and on top of that, they split it into tiers.
Two tiers.
Based on the scores that came in. All the scores came in, they cut them in half and called some asshole in the middle of the group a winner of the second tier.
Completely asinine.
Yeah, so that's a little outrageous.
So I just think that there should be more. I'd rather personally, and I think I'd like to see this more, I'd rather put in an extra $20 on my entry and get a little money in a in the pot. Like, I want to win some cash. We walked out. I thought we played well. We were going to walk out. There was some cash. That's what I want to play for. But
yeah.
I'm also a degenerate gambler. So, and you,
what do we think about the structure of scrambles? So obviously, I think the overall integrity and honesty within a scramble is lacked. Do we think you have officials at every hole? Do you think you go off and eight some so people can keep track and you keep the other team's score?
I think one or the other. I think you got to do something. I think most scrambles you'll see have a lot of people out there like running different things on – maybe not most, but a lot of them will have people out there running different contests on holes and stuff. Like
for fundraising and shit like that.
What would it hurt to have, you know, one of those – have them double as – like a kind of a marshal, like keep an eye. You can tell what a team did if they took an extra shot or if they, you know, have them check the scorecard and sign off on everything. Or, I mean, I know it shouldn't have to come to this, but I know we were in that scramble at Water's Edge in the beginning of March, and what was it? It was around
damn near 40 degrees,
and we had five teams coming in
the 50s. 60.
Oh yeah,
get out of here. The wind was howling that day, and that anyone who's played Water's Edge, which we'll probably do that on a different episode, that's not that gettable of a course.
Not in the slightest.
I mean, we played pretty well, I thought, and we only came in about seven.
We shot 62, I think.
I 61. Thought we were like 65.
We were 10 under at 62.
Were we?
Yeah.
I didn't even think we really. Oh, I didn't think.
And some people came in over at 13.
And we
14.
Played well. We played really well, and there are teams coming in at. Yeah,
57
won. I think I saw 56 or 57 won it. So just, yeah, I think that I don't want it to have to be that way, but also when there are – that was one where there was money on the line. I think the winner of that thing got like $700, but they didn't police it at all, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never actually been in one with eight-sums. I don't know if they'll slow play per se. But at the same time, like – you shouldn't need to wait for the other team.
Slow play?
I don't know. I'm saying I.
I mean, aside from that, you're gonna end up with maybe eight balls on the green at one point. That would kind of suck, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it would.
I don't think.
Obviously, off the tee,
it
putting.
Sucks that this has to be a conversation that's had. You know, it's.
I think it'd be very easy just to even if you said. If you said at the beginning, there are going to be, whatever, four or five rangers out there or officials making sure that you're scoring correctly, mm-hmm. right? I think it's easy to do. I also think being the team behind, so say, like, we're behind a group, you could tell what they had.
Right, so you know what you're doing or you need to do.
Right. Well, not even that, but, like, you should be able to, like, everyone, you should be able to, like, keep the score of the people in front of you,
right.
Mark it down on your card, and if they don't match up, okay, now we have a dispute.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but then how do you settle that dispute? Then you're going to come into, like,
how did you see my ball fights. Go in? Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's all it all comes down to. All right, now, who was fucking lying?
All we have to do is act like that putt went in. Let's all high-five each
right,
other.
Right, yeah, oh, sure it did. Yeah, fuck yeah, it did.
I don't know.
And that's
like I said, it sucks
that
this is even a conversation
ends.
That has to be
how
had.
How do you fucking solve people from not cheating?
Like coming from three guys who, and we've played in a lot of scrambles in the last few years, and I you can call it whatever you say, we're full of shit, but like not once have we ever even thought about cheating in any way to the point where like if we have a tap and putt, we won't even tap it in because technically that counts as another shot, you know?
Right.
Technically
we'll
wait, does.
We'll mark that and let the next one go. Like, just to the fault, like, that's just... And I don't understand when people think that they have to do that shit, but I feel like there has to be some way to fix that. And I don't know. I don't know if eightsomes are the answer, but I think that's something that we should... I'd like some feedback on anyone that has some feedback on that or any solutions.
I don't think you're
going
to solution
we're looking
that
for,
at all.
Like I said, we're hoping to start a scramble league eventually. That's the goal, one of our goals. We want to...
Well, that'll be starting on Friday once we win.
Yeah, once we have our trophies Friday, we'll...
So,
not
worried about that.
Yeah, we want to start trying to get a following going. And so anyone interested in a scramble league, yeah, let us know.
Anything else, boys?
Yeah, anything. I mean, that's all we got on that today. You guys,
Timmy Two Putts, you got any comments?
Well, the only three putts that I had all course were only a couple. Of course,
you're going to bring up every single three putts.
We had a great time, though. I mean, if you're going to go out and have a good time, it's out of your beaten path, but Whitetail Ridge
yeah. It's worth the drive.
By far worth the drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go for it. Have a good time, and it's a short course. You'll score well if you play well, so have at it.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Be sure to follow us on Spotify, iTunes, or any other way that you take in audio content. Again, it's Bogeys and Beers. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll be back next time with a new course, new beers, and some good old-fashioned fun.
Beauty.